The Decoy, written by Florey Palmer and read by Lucy Tregear and Louise Jameson.
Prologue.
The scent of my blood was nauseating. Metallic, sweet, and so strong. A blowfly moved across my cheek, but I felt nothing. It was soon joined by more. Above me, the crows and rooks shrieked in the treetops. I hover, I vibrate, and I watch. I don't feel cold or hot or pain or any external feelings. But I am enveloped in sorrow, clad in a coat of guilt, shod in regrets, alone in a great grey cloud of sadness. I remember, I love, and I hate. No eyes, yet I watch, no ears, yet I hear. I hover and vibrate, and watch and listen and remember and love and hate and sorrow. I watched my murderer race away through the woods to where they had hidden their car. I followed in the wake of their wickedness as they dashed to my home. The police and the press have come up with their versions of the Heronsford murders, but if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. I know the truth and need to tell it so I can forget. My headlong race through the lanes to witness the harm that was to befall my family wasn't the beginning. The blood spilt in the woods, seen by the crows, wasn't the beginning either. The beginning was a scene that resembled one of her photographs, beautiful but eerily still. She lay on her stomach, arms half extended, long scarlet hair floating free, vivid against the turquoise blue beneath her. Small, pretty, tanned body enticing in a strappy pale top and dark blue shorts, shapely lower legs spread, one slightly bent. Dead.
Chapter 1. 22nd of June. A wet spring had meant that weeds had kept returning to the border, where the vigorous peach-pink rambler spread itself up and across the south wall of her converted barn. The rose infused the air around it with an intense fruity scent. Annie Barclay was tackling the border now. The weeds were bigger and tougher to deal with than she usually allowed them to become, but the last couple of weeks had been so surprisingly hot that she had put off doing it. Her 74-year-old back was aching, and apart from that, she could have done with a cold flannel to run over her face and neck. Standing for a moment to relieve the pain, she thought of stopping on its account. With only another couple of yards to go, she made the decision to continue. That she would be in more pain later, she balanced with the fact that at least the job would be done. She bent down to prise up a dock. A toad leapt over her hand and scuttled off. Annie flinched for a second only. She stood up again, but the ache did not lessen. It was time, she decided, for a visit to Dr. Gordon. She felt eyes on her, turned, and saw her daughter waving at her from her office. In the old stables that had been turned into offices, the tall, skinny figure of Eliza Armstrong stood arms splayed, head bent over a large pine farmhouse table that was known as the art table. Her almond-shaped green eyes scanned a batch of near-identical photographic images scattered across its rectangular top.